down there. I didn't see you there. Alright, so much for Camden.
That was cool. Hey, it's Scott Hanselman, and it's Hanselman. It's on Channel 9. And
he's out of the portal.
I'm out of the portal.
Get him back in.
This is the Hansel portal. That's where I usually am. I'm usually inside of there, but now I'm here in person in Phil Hack's office. Phil's got a build of MVC 2.
Yeah.
2. It's one better than MVC
right.
1.
So 100% better.
So what do you got? Nothing more fun than a tiny video camera looking at tiny fonts and a tiny screen.
Little.
Channel 9 guy is cool. All right, Phil. Let's do a poor man's screencast.
You're living the
dual monitor lifestyle.
I love the dual monitor screen.
Dual monitor
background.
Wallpaper.
That's the key.
Look at that. Look at the little fishing dude in the gap between them. The fisher guy and his fisher pole is over there.
All right,
cool. Let's do it. What do you got?
So I'm going to show you one feature of ASP.NET MVC 2 that I'm pretty excited about. It's called, we're calling them templated helpers.
Okay.
So
we're inside a nerd dinner here. This looks familiar.
Yeah,
I've seen that div before.
Yeah, but I've cleared out the contents.
Do me a favor, pump up your fonts by about double.
By double?
Because we're doing a screencast, so we're looking at people on a screen with a tiny screen. Make it like 36.
But it only goes to 24.
It only goes to 24?
Okay, how's that?
Yes, the people love it.
Okay, great. So do
I'll
you
go
need
over
to step aside?
I'll go over here.
I can turn the monitor.
There we go, here. Great. Okay. This is a screencast on a screen through a, I don't know.
So what I want to do here, this is the dinner details page, and I want to use the new HTML.display4. So in this case, you give an expression where you give a lambda expression against the model.
Okay, lambda sounds hard.
Yeah, it is. Sorry.
So we're in the nerd dinner details page. We're looking at the detail for one dinner.
One dinner, exactly.
We're going to display a dinner.
Right.
And dinner is something that already exists. Dinners have stuff. They have a date,
phone number, all that stuff.
Okay, that's our model.
So what I want to do here is do something that's similar to field templates in dynamic data, which is I'm going to tell you about what I want to display, and then you just go figure it out and display it.
Sort of.
So you're saying, give me the HTML to display a dinner.
Yeah,
but you're not saying anything about what a dinner should look like.
Yep. So at this point, I'm just saying, yeah, get me a display for dinner. Now, this variable name here can be anything you want, right?
So make it foo, just to tell that to me I know you're not lying.
Foo.
Okay, so that's just some...
Yeah, and it looks weird that we're going foo.
Why is it foo
such that foo? Why is it foo?
Yeah.
Well, these helpers are tied into the type of the view page. So you notice here that my view page is of type dinner.
Right.
View page of dinner.
Because we're showing a dinner.
Yeah, and since what I want to display is a dinner here, rather than, for example, if I wanted to just display a phone number, I might do this.
Ah, I see. That's why it's confusing.
Yeah, in this case, it's a little confusing because the thing I actually want to display is my model. But
which sounds like a common scenario.
Yeah, but when we get into what happens next, we'll see. So let me bring this over here.
And let's do some control scroll action on this guy too. There we go. That was good sound effects. I think the Channel 9 really appreciated that. Can you do it again? That was great. Oh, nice.
Wait.
All right.
Okay, so we need to view all.
Always content free here on the Channel 9. So here's our list.
We actually got some content here.
Okay, here's a list. We go back. We had a list of dinners, and we clicked on a dinner. So we're looking at dinner 2.
Yeah.
So this was automatic?
Yeah, so at this point, this is automatic, because all we did was iterate through the properties of a dinner and spit out a label based on the property name and then the value. And you can see here, we actually used div so that in our default style sheet, we could actually make it look halfway decent. Okay.
But you basically reflected over a dinner.
Yeah.
And you made a display page for it.
Yep.
Okay.
But most likely, you're going to want to control how the dinner looks. So
right.
I renamed this folder underscore so that it wouldn't work. But in the shared views folder, and you can put these folders in any of the control. If you want the templates to be controller specific, you just put them in the controller folder.
I see.
But I have a dinner partial view. So just
you made a little ASCX page here that says, I know how to show dinners.
Exactly. And in this case, this is what we used to have in the details page.
Okay, right. So you've got stuff that's specific, exactly how you want it to lay out, calls to HTML encoding our description. Yep. And you haven't changed your display, your details page yet. You're just hitting F5.
Yep.
And now it looks exactly like it does in the standard sample.
Yay, so all that work and we're back to where we started.
Okay, so let's go back to your details page. Just look at that one more time. So you're saying on the dinner details page.
Oh, sorry, details page, yep.
You're saying display a dinner.
Yep.
Because we know it's a dinner because it's the dinner details
page. Anywhere
page.
I want to display a dinner, I can just use this display for method,
okay.
And we have a standard view of what a dinner looks like because we put it in the shared template.
Now this looks like what we're expecting in dynamic data, but it's not dynamic data.
That's correct.
Okay.
It's inspired by dynamic data, but it's there are some key, minor differences.
Yeah, well, it seems to have an MVC flair. It seems to be more specific to MVC.
Yep. So let's show an example of creation.
So we're on the create a dinner page.
Yep. So in this case, instead of using the display for, I'm going to choose the editor for method.
Nice.
And in this case, just to be, let's look at the type of our model.
Right, because this one doesn't take a dinner.
Right, this one's actually using a dinner form view model. So this is a view model that we wrote that encapsulates the information about this screen above and beyond just the dinner. So in this case, I'm going to, like I said, I could name it bar this time, but bar.dinner. So this is where you can see the expression starts to make more sense, right?
Right.
Like, I would actually probably call this maybe even dinner view model dot...
I usually call it X. That's what I do.
Yeah, I like to call it,
something
related to what it is, but...
Well, I don't know. I call it X because a lambda is like sounds like something I learned in calculus class, and X is like... I don't know. That's about as far as I went in school, so... Okay, so you're saying, show me an editor for a dinner.
Yep. And, I've conveniently ahead of time, like 5 minutes ago.
You're sneaky. So we have display templates and editor templates.
Right. And so let's look at this editor template. I only did a few of these fields. But you notice here we have a label for and an editor for. And I just went through three of the properties and did label for and editor for.
Okay. So hang on a second. So this is not just about a dinner, which is a high-level object consisting of lower-level, smaller things. But we can do an editor for a string and an editor for an integer.
Absolutely.
Okay.
So, for example, if you wanted a common example for date times, maybe you want all your date times to be edited with a date picker, then you could create a template for date time. So you can create templates for simple and complex types, primitive types or your custom types.
Now, I could make them use third-party controls or somebody else's jQuery calendar or whatever makes me happy?
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Okay, cool.
So, where was I saying the word so, just like... Microsoft.
Yeah, all Microsoft
Northwesterner.
People. Is it Northwesterners or
that's
Microsoft people? We all say so. Let's go ahead and start the next sentence with so.
So what I'm going to do next is show you the... I was like trying to remember. Okay, so hosted dinner is where we show this form. And yeah, you can see that we've shown the three forms.
Sure. Seems harmless.
Yeah, what's cool though is I can go to the actual dinner class. Or if I can find...
It's at the top of this page.
I want the properties. Okay, so...
Oh, the properties? They're inside of the DBML designer
that's
file.
That's right.
Not the layout.
Not the layout file. So we can use the buddy class approach just like you would do with dynamic data. But in this case, I'm just feeling lazy.
You're going to attribute...
Yeah, because let's say this model is actually a POCO model rather than a linked to SQL model.
And what's POCO? Because we have... This is Channel 9. They could know anything. They could be Java people. We have no way of knowing.
Plain old CLR objects. So,
POCO.
So right now, this is actually a link to SQL object, so
okay.
I don't know what it derives from, but...
I don't know. But this is a dinner, and there's my contact phone number, so you're putting a hint on it.
No. Instead of a hint, I'm saying data type. This is one of these dynamic data annotations that you can apply to your model.
Okay.
So I can say data type dot phone number.
Now, where does data type live? What is that?
That's in system.componentModel.data data annotations.
Now, that's interesting, because that's not in system.web. That's in system. I mean, that's
system.
Part of the system. It's baked into the base class library.
It was introduced in .NET 3.5 SP1.
Okay, so you're annotating data, not web-specific data.
Yeah, so what I'm saying is that, this is a string, but we want to give a little bit more metadata. Now, right now, let me compile this. Right now, that's being ignored here because we don't know what to do with the phone number.
Mm-hmm.
But what I can do is create a template for it now. An editor template.
Mm-hmm.
So I'll just walk you through the process. We're going to add a view, create a partial view. In this case, it's going to be strongly typed to string, right?
Yeah.
And we'll call it phone number. We just match it to the name of the data type.
Okay. So you're teaching us about what to do when it shows a phone number.
Yep.
Maybe you could make it a call to link, like, or Skype link or something like that.
Well, this is an editor, so maybe we have a masked input, right?
Yeah, I see what you're going.
Yeah, input type equals, let's see, and there's a way for me to, I'm blanking right now, and like, we can, oh, actually, you want to use the helpers. Whoa, why did it do that? HTML dot text box, or maybe even editor 4.
Editor, what's the difference between editor and editor 4?
Oh, sorry. Editor allows you to pass in a string. There are certain cases, like if you're in a for loop, where you can't pass an expression.
Right, if you're generating it.
Yeah. The downside to using the string-based approach is that we don't have any metadata about what exactly you're editing. So with the expressions, even if the value is null, because you're giving us an expression, we can actually infer from the type what fields the display. So this is where the demo starts to break down, because this is brand new code, and we're adding
a phone
number.
Up too.
And I'm making it up as I go
along.
Well,
let's just put the word phone in front of it.
Yeah, and that's what we'll hope to do. Phone. Okay. And then...
I think you need to put a dash equals, a dash instead of an equals.
What?
A hyphen?
A hyphen?
Is that supposed to look like that with an equal sign?
Oh, no, what I'm missing is...
Editor 4.
Yeah.
There you go.
Again, I did it again. So now, you can see that I'm using the phone template for that.
So you just
so
taught it.
Work, I've
just,
never done that before.
Yeah, and I'm glad you didn't do my hyphen thing, because I didn't know what I was talking about.
Yeah.
So you just taught it what a phone number is, and now I suppose that you can use that anywhere now, you show a phone number.
Yep.
Now this doesn't say what a phone number should look like for our international people who have more than 10 digits. This is expressing what a phone number, that a phone number is. But not that it's 10 digits or plus one or country code or whatever.
Yeah, so we could actually do something like, you know, this.
It's not culture specific, though, is what I'm saying.
Right. So there are other annotations you can apply to your model that are affected here. So, for example, I did the label for title, and notice contact phone, mm-hmm. There's no gap in there. So let's go back here. Let's fix that up, in fact. I believe the attribute is display name. We can say contact phone. For international people, you can actually specify, not on this one. Oh, I think there's another way where you can actually...
Did we just find a bug live on Channel 9?
No, I think...
That would be cool if we did.
You just found my ignorance on the display name attribute. I believe there's another one where you can actually specify resource strings.
Rather than a different attribute.
Yeah, so... Here, I'll compile this, and you can see that,
with the power of .NET, we've added
a space
between contact and phone. You saw it here first on Channel 9.
Yeah. One of the things, like the label 4, can integrate with model binding. So one of the other things that we've introduced is data annotation support for our default model binder. So validation against these attributes can occur. And that's all of this ties together. It kind of makes it a lot nicer experience than before for building UIs and forms. And also, you're always and still in complete control of your output and markup.
So we're starting to see MVC 2. Are you guys going to go as fast as Silverlight? Are we going to see MVC 9 like within a year? Or how fast are you going to rev this thing?
Well, we're pretty motivated to get it out soon. So we're going to have... by the time you see this video, this will already be out there, but...
this will be, what do we call it, preview 1?
Preview 1.
So, MVC 2, preview 1. You heard it here.
Yep, and then we'll have, a couple more preview releases, and we are planning to be in the box with Visual Studio 2010.
Wow, so that's huge.
Yeah, so that means that when you install Visual Studio 2010, you'll get the MVC 2 version for Visual Studio 10, sorry. And but we'll also have a release for Visual Studio 2008 SP1.
Awesome.
And so that makes this release extremely date-driven, right? Because
if
we don't get it done early enough before Visual Studio is done, then we won't be able to include it in the box. So.
Very cool.
So yeah, so this will be a pretty quick revision, I think.
Cool. Well, thanks a lot for sharing.
My pleasure.
It's Phil Hack, and it's ASP.NET MVC.
There's my
Ship it. You have a little award there.
Yeah, I got a
shipping
award
MVC.
For MVC.
Yay. All right. And I'm gonna back out. So I'm gonna fall over this chair and I'm gonna back out.